Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy. Whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage, the Magic Wand should be your go-to. With powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns, it's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this Mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, we're answering your emails, your questions. We love hearing from you. The topics include getting off on a partner's sexual history. What does that mean? What to do with an uncircumcised penis? And also, we're talking to Carrie from UV, you know, just the woman behind the coolest invention that's hit the sex industry in years. That's all. Okay, enjoy the show, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex relationships and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com, where you can do so many amazing things there. Our site is so robust and beautiful, right, Anderson? Hi, Anderson.
It's bountiful.
It's bountiful. We've got, like, every day, we got a crack team of writers here, people and staff, and we've got amazing blogs and tips to help you have better sex. Mm-hmm. So check that out. Subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the podcast. That helps us. And follow me on social media.
Yeah.
Freaking love social
media. It's
like
a full-sized woman over there.
Where?
Yeah, over at your site. So they got everything.
They got right? Everything. Exactly.
Fill out that dress.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's a big bosomed woman. Like all the information you have.
Well, it's
like
funny because you know this is the new year, and I got to say, Ken, you know who runs my company.
You're obsessed with Ken. I'm obsessed with you.
But he sent me the numbers. Like, oh my god, we had everything doubled. The number of listeners, the people who went to the website, the people who, all of you. Like, I'm so. If we're talking about like New Year's resolutions and gratitude and all that stuff, I am just so grateful for all my listeners. That going into my 11th year, I can't, or 12th year. Wait, no.
11. Last year. Was, well, you just did 11 years because your 10-year anniversary was like a year ago,
my
right?
12th year?
We're going, it might be going in your 12th year, and oh my God. Might be doing that.
Okay,
ask
so.
Ken. I bet he knows. Ken knows.
Ken, my 12th year.
Do you ever look up and just ask Ken questions?
I do. And he answers. It's weird. No, he does. He's always there. He's like always by his phone. He's always like, it's like crazy.
Congratulations. Because, you know, I do other shows as well. And my whole motivation behind them, other than, you know, getting bills paid, which is obviously, you know, a big motivator, but it's like a service and getting the word out and helping people, you know, make better decisions and spend their time more wisely and watching the right films and that kind of thing. I love to do it for that reason. And to be able to reach a bigger audience is what it's all about. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're helping.
It feels really
more
good.
People, one orgasm at a time, as you say.
I got to tell you, it does feel really good because that is still why I do it. You know me, like I've talked about this like on a previous show, but like it wasn't ever like I'm going to be famous and make lots of money.
No.
I love helping people with sex.
You know what's sad? Like if you did have that part of your drive, like you might have even be like bigger than you are. I think a lot of people that are famous is because they have such a drive to be famous. They need to be famous so bad. And then it's like, wow, great. You're famous now. I got to look at you. You have nothing to offer. Go
right,
away. You know
right.
what I mean?
It wasn't about
you're,
that.
You're genuine. The real deal. Yeah. Genuine article.
It's true. Yeah. I love it. And I love when people are like come up to me and they say, and even with your emails when you're like, oh my God, you helped me through a sex life. I'm like, this is working.
Have you ever had a stranger come up to you and be like lecherous?
Like I listen to your show. No.
Like, hey, it's Sex with Emily. Yeah.
Only at, no. Only you who don't know me. My
How
friends are,
you
are
doing?
Like.
Yeah.
So there are weird things like that where people come up and they're like, oh, you sex with Emily? And I'm like. It's not sex with everybody. I'm not a prostitute, whatever. But here's something cool that happened. I was at one of my favorite places on earth, Four Seasons. I would like to be buried there.
Which one? Beverly Hills?
Yeah. I had a lunch there.
Oh,
I'm so fancy.
Wow. Look at you, Emily.
It was a very important business lunch. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I was excited. It was right before the new year. And I don't go there often, but I do
love it. I used to do a lot of interviews there. It's very
really?
Swanky.
Like, yeah. I want to, like,
every time I go there, I'd see someone famous every single time.
It's like a famous place. Ah. So, here's a funny thing that happened. So, I was at lunch, and the waiter comes and takes our orders, and then he comes back and he says, So, Miss Morris, would you like the dressing with this dressing or that dressing with your salad? And he walked away, and I turned to my friend. I'm like, did he just say, Miss Morris, like, did you give him our names at the check in? Like, and he's like, I don't know. That was weird. So, the waiter comes back, and I said, I have a question for you. Like, how did you know my name? And he said, oh, I'm a huge fan of your podcast. The waiter, he's like, I'm a really big fan of your podcast. And I used to listen to you on Loveline and I love your podcast. And I have to say that we have a policy here as waiters that if we recognize somebody, we should use their name.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's and like service.
I was like, that is so
that
nice.
That is so very nice.
And he goes, and you know what? He goes, we get like really big celebrities in here, like Leonardo DiCaprio. And I'm like, whatever. But seeing you.
Right.
It's
I'm the
great.
Same way.
And
yeah,
I'm like, well, wait, but I'm like, is that a backwards? Like, we get like real celebrities.
Yeah, it's
and
a little
like,
backhanded.
A little
it's
okay. He's like, and you're like this little nothing podcaster, but I'm just as excited.
Let's be honest.
So
though.
My
DiCaprio,
friend and I were
Emily.
Laughing. We're like, that was funny. But that felt that was a nice one. So thank
that
you.
That is very nice.
Love.
I like the Miss Morris. That's very, very nice.
Yeah, I was like, but wait, how does he know me?
What if he said Miss Sex? That would have been funnier.
Excuse
me, Miss Sex. Would you like the
what if he said Miss Morris, you slept with my roommate last week or something?
Oh, no. You'd probably be right. You'd probably be correct.
I probably didn't. No, yeah. I have not had sex like in a while. Oh, wait, is that true? Yeah.
You have to think about it.
I know, is that weird?
That's sad.
I need like a flow chart. No, it really has been a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to Ken about that. I bet he can fix that.
Ken's amazing. I like to keep it separate though. He doesn't know all about my sex life. Okay, but he listens to the show and then he learns things. Okay, should we do a little bit of sex in the news?
Yeah, let's absolutely do some sex in the news.
Okay. Science claims mastering afterplay will make you better at sex.
More work for dudes.
Exactly.
I hear it coming. Here it comes.
We talk a lot about foreplay. Uh-huh. We talk a lot about during, but afterplay. And I could not agree more. So afterplay
is when you guys get up, go to the kitchen, and make a sandwich.
That's what guys do. Or they fall asleep. And that is the biggest bummer in the world because I get it, though. When a guy has an orgasm, typically, after sex, that's when his the carpal
job is
hormone.
Done.
No, yeah, because he ejected, the job is done, and a lot of men just fall asleep. Scientifically, the job is done,
job. Yeah.
And their cortisol, like, everything spikes, and you actually do get tired for a lot of men. Like,
thank
you,
for you
can't
telling
fall
me
asleep.
That. What happens? Yes,
not every man, but a lot of them. And for a woman, though, for me, and I'm not saying every woman, but like, when we have sex and you just like fall asleep, you're like, and goes right to snoring. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm alone. I'm dying. Yeah. Like, kiss me, tell me I'm hot, and then fall asleep. Like, I need something, right? So it is the most ignored part of sex. And afterplay is a time of nice cuddles and soft kisses you give each other after passionately banging. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of people just roll over, fall asleep. And the thing is, while some people take part in this romantic afterplay, many fail to do so, which is a shame because women totally dig afterplay. Science says so.
I say so. I know so. But guys know this, right?
This is scientific. According to researchers at University of Kansas, it was found that afterplay is just as important as foreplay. And it was also found that foreplay and afterplay are more enjoyable than the actual part of sex for many women. So,
those are so weird.
The women, I know, dude. If you didn't think that women's sexuality was confusing enough, women in the study expressed that if they know foreplay and afterplay are going to be amazing, they'd be more than happy to reciprocate that sexual generosity and please their man during intercourse. Like, could mean a stellar blowjob, it could mean whatever. But if they know they're going to get some cuddles after, or a little oral, they're happy. So also, if you keep up the intimacy after sex, it leaves them with a good impression. It's like leaving people, like, she feels cuddled, she feels happy, she wants to have sex again. And it's romantic. It's
Can
more
I
about
say
the
this,
romance.
Though? Can yes. I say this, though, Evan? It gets a little bit dicey when we're talking to, like, a last show that I did with you. We had an email of a girl who's dating all sorts of different guys, right? And once you give in to the after play, women are doing that psychologically, mentally, physically, and with science, because evolutionarily they're looking for a partner to nest with.
Pair bonding,
and
right.
Stay. So
pair.
I feel like guys shouldn't even begin to start, you know, giving into this a lot, especially if they're playing the field and they have no interest in sticking around or seeing this girl through. I think it's sending the wrong message, and I think that it's rude. And it's her oxytocin's going nuts, and she's getting, like, more attached. And
then why should you get blowjobs and we shouldn't get cuddling at the end if it's just as enjoyable?
It's not
for
fair
us.
To you guys.
Why?
Because it's like we're writing a check that we're
but
not going to cash.
But if I'm sleeping with three guys and we all cuddle at the end, why do I care?
But no, because if you're cuddling, you're getting attached.
No.
Yeah, you are.
Not always.
Usually, that's
it's
what
a
you want to. Do you want to cuddle with somebody you're not going to be attached with? That's
I like them enough to sleep
that's
with them. I want to cuddle.
That's crazy.
No, if I like you enough to sleep with you, I want to cuddle for a minute, not the whole night. But I want to. Yes, I want to feel. I'm not like the kind of person that can just go in and sleep with someone and leave. Like
right.
That to me, I this resonated with me because I love the intimacy,
okay.
But I'm able to separate that from monogamy in the past. Like, I can still be intimate with multiple people.
I get the sex
people.
Part, why girls, why everyone would like that, you know, because of the climax and it feels great and all this and that. But then what comes after that is much more psychological, I think. And then I think there's a whole lot of pheromones and things being transferred.
That's what happens.
And it's about connection, which
you get connected.
You
it's true.
Are talking about how people are less connected than ever, and it's a great thing because they're dating around. And then if you start giving into this at the tail end of it, I think it's going to muddle things and make people have more intense feelings and get more fucked up.
Okay. But what I understand what you're saying for people who are not really adept at, no, I'm saying, and not every woman wants, I'm not saying that nothing here is like every single person on the planet wants it. I'm
right.
Just saying, you're talking about non-monogamy, even people in relationships is important. I'm just saying that after play is a new term that you might not have thought about and you should think about that it's important. So
can
how
I say
long,
this,
how hard is it to say, babe, that was great, rub your hands over body, kiss her, cuddle, then fall asleep?
And I'm just kind of playing a little devil's advocate. And I don't have any problems with the after cuddles. I like the cuddles. The cuddles are nice. I don't have to fall asleep right away. I actually dated a girl for a while where she would get very energetic and clean the house right afterwards. So we had spick and span living space. That was nice. But I would feel guilty when I was like dating around and I'd do the cuddle thing. I'd be like, this doesn't feel right. Like, the sex felt right, but the actual cuddle, this feels like treacherous.
Because
weird.
You didn't want to be there because you didn't really.
Because I knew she was like
it.
One of a few.
Right. No,
I feel like I'm.
I totally get what you're saying. That for a lot of guys, that's like you only do that with your.
Yeah, like the people, the ones that you're really like. Down for the cause.
I could see that, and I could see that women could feel the same way if they're sleeping with people. They're like, this is way too intimate.
Yeah.
I just want to wham bam. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, I'm not saying that, like, you know, again, the sex police are going to knock on your door if you don't do the after play.
I cringe at the idea of a girl sitting on the end of a bed
after play.
Saying, what about the after play? Where's the after play?
Right. But for me, this resonated because when I was in a relationship with a guy, we started out and it was like he just wasn't a cuddler. And the first few times we slept together, he would just fall asleep. And I literally felt like I was cold and dying and starving. I was like, I'm alone in this bed. Like, it felt so lonely.
Yeah, I bet.
And
you
I felt
like a receptacle a little
bit. I felt like what happened to the something? I needed that to kind of like after
reassurance.
Closure.
What about a pat in the head and like, something. Yeah, helps you clean up and then.
Exactly. And I just need that connection at the end. And that was in a relationship.
Make it at least a little effort, like some eye contact.
Pretend you care afterwards. And it was hot.
Say good job and pat him on the ass.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well done. Right. All right.
Something. Okay. So that's our sex in the news. That was very controversial.
You still have not come close, Em, to topping the ultimate sex with the news. And I still tell strangers in bars, I love talking about
it?
The Swedish one where the guy was beaten off on the beachfront and he got arrested, but they didn't charge him because he wasn't making eye contact.
Exactly.
A judge said, oh yeah, we can't charge you with public indecency because you weren't making eye contact with anyone. You're staring at a seashell. That's my favorite sex in the news
that
story.
Is right.
God,
that is
was great.
True. There was no eye contact and no after play. that is hilarious. I'm sorry I haven't topped that yet, but my goal for 2017,
yes.
I want to top that for
I'll
you,
let you
Anderson.
Know. Yes.
Now that I know your genre
of genre.
Favorite toys,
yeah,
favorite stories. I love toys. Favorite stories?
Public indecency.
I would do that for you.
Yeah, getting off the hook.
Okay, listen, you're the best. We're going to take a quick break. We were actually going to talk to Carrie from UV. She made the coolest thing ever. But let's give a shout out to our sponsors, everyone. Thank you for supporting these amazing brands and products and cool things that will change your sex life that we work with. I love them. I hope you love them too. And we'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, now we're going to talk to Carrie Martz. She's the inventor of UV and co-founder of Clean Light Labs. Okay, this was one of my favorite new inventions of the year, of last year. I went to these trade shows and everyone's like, have you seen the UV? Have you seen the UV? It is the coolest thing. It charges and cleans your sex toys and pleasure products, which is a huge issue for a lot of people. It kills like 99.9% of all harmful bacteria. It looks like it's like a little mini dishwasher, but it's like elegant and sleek and you can leave it by your bed and or, you know, in your wherever. No one will know what it is, but I hate when my toys are not charged and when they're not clean. Like, what's the point in having them? So it's just really cool technology. I want to hear all about it, how she invented it, and I can't wait to talk to her. Hey, Carrie, it's Emily.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I've just been raving about the UV. And that it's the coolest thing I saw in 2016, and now people can actually get their hands on it in 2017.
I know. I'm excited about that, too.
I'm excited. So, okay, I would like to know, like, how you... First of all, I love that you develop this with your daughter, Brooke, who's amazing. But I want to know, mm-hmm. like, how you came up with this. Like, how did you come up with this brilliant idea?
Well, I wish I could take the credit for it, but it was actually Brooke. I was, after I'd sold my advertising agency, I was looking at other projects to get involved with, and a woman had asked me to help with her branding and development of a toothbrush sanitizer and also a baby pacifier sanitizer. And I had them out on my kitchen counter, and I was looking at them and showing them to my somewhat OCD daughter, who was 5 months pregnant at the time. And she and her husband were over. And, you know, she said, Mom, I just got one of these warning blogs in your 5th month of pregnancy, what they tell you to do and not do. And one of them was talking about how to be very careful using toys during pregnancy because some of them may not be clean enough.
Ooh.
And she said, you ought to have this gal who's doing toothbrush sanitizers do it for vibrators.
Wow.
And, you know, I thought, boy, I wonder if there's somebody doing that. And being a toy user myself, I wanted to see how clean they really were. So I started looking at the industry. No one was doing it. There was not one universal method recommended for cleaning toys. And again, being concerned with some germs and actually myself getting infections from toys and not really realizing it was from toys.
Right. So you had infections. Because I hear this all the time now. I mean, I don't because I know like a toy cleaner, but most people don't. Like they're buying these really expensive toys and they're like, oh, it's fine. I put it back in my drawer. Like people don't know to clean it. But you had an infection as well. And you, several.
Yeah, I was single at the time and using toys instead of having sex. So I know it couldn't have come from sex. And I went to see my gynecologist and I was too embarrassed to tell her that I wasn't having sex, which is kind of funny.
Right.
And, right. And so she said, no, you've got this thing, this infection again. I go, I wonder how I'm getting that. But when you really do think about where we do put our toys, it's not just that you clean them.
Right.
It's also how you store them. And then even right after you use the toy, do you really get up and sanitize it? Not often. So this is just a system that is not only about cleaning and sanitizing a toy, but it's making it readily available for you when you want to use it, which is why we added the charging system to it and the fact that it's locked up. So people that you don't want to get into it can't.
Right. It's so smart because I always say like the biggest, you know, I get more toys than anybody. And this is my problem is that I have nowhere to store them and that they're often not charged or I didn't clean them. But the charging thing is huge for me too. Cause I'm like, oh God, it's dead. It's such a bummer, but to know that it's always going to be clean and ready to go. I was thinking about it. It's almost like if you bought a Ferrari and like you didn't maintain it, like you left it in your garage and they never had gas in it. You're like, why did I buy this nice car? You know, and buying a nice sex toy is a gift that we give ourselves. Like we'll spend $200 on a toy. And I always hear from people like, I lost the charger. I think it's ruined. It's dirty. It's like, no, you didn't care for your toy. You know, treat it like any other electronic that you buy and take care of it. And I love that the UV is this place that you could just place it in there and it's like ready to go. Like you don't have to think about it again, right? It's like dropping your car off to get detailed. It comes back. It's ready to go. Like this is the thing. It's like time you use your toy, it will last you forever. Your toy should last you. And so I just think it's brilliant because I even realize now, Carrie, after seeing the UV and like, I'm like, oh my God, like sometimes I'll spray, like I have like a spray cleaner by my bed and I'll clean it. But then I might use it again a week later thinking it's even me. I'll be like, oh, it's clean. I'm like, you know, now I'm over. I'm like, no, it's probably not because it's been in my drawer. So just because I cleaned it right after doesn't mean that 3 days later or a week later, it's still clean.
No. And it doesn't. And we've scientifically proven that. So
talk to me about the science.
Aimlessly important. So we're, you know, we worked with a Harvard microbiologist and we tested our product against foams and sprays and on very hardy bacteria, we are 2 to 5 times more effective. And you know, we're not competing with foams and sprays. There's a place for everybody in this space. And we're excited because manufacturers of great innovative products that are making certainly toys more exciting, like Lalo came in and said, you know, we want to partner with you on your Kickstarter. And they know that they're making very unique, innovative toys that are doing crazy things.
Right.
And so it's not as easy to clean.
Right.
And for them to say, hey, put a innovative toy like Lalo in mm-hmm. with a UV and you've got a perfect match.
That's, right.
That is great validation for us.
Exactly.
We're excited to have
I love it
like
too.
That.
And I know Oh My Bod and Rabbit Company also came on board because they're like, yeah, we want you to keep using our toys as well. And we don't want you to get mm-hmm. an infection and we want mm-hmm. it to be charged because that's a bummer for them too when your toys aren't charged. So that's really, so how it works, like it's cool. So you put, I mean, I've seen it, but like, and I'm telling you, before you called, I was saying, telling everyone how it's just like, it was like the buzz of all the shows I went to. People were like, have you seen the UV? Like I haven't seen in 12 mm-hmm. years anything like it. And it just seems to solve like a lot of the problems. But how you explain it, I'm like, it's like a little mini dishwasher that you close it and the light turns on, but it's much sleeker and more elegant. And it charges it in
yes.
how many minutes? And I mean, it cleans it in like no time, right?
Well, the big unit, the home play, will accommodate at least three big toys. And we made it large enough for very large toys like the magic wand. And it has three USB charging stations in it. So it's really a big system. And that only takes 10 minutes to completely go through the entire sanitizing process. And it kills 99.9%
that's
of all
amazing.
The germs found on the toys.
Well,
10 minutes.
Yeah,
so
it's funny because
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is so cool because now the more I'm talking about this, people are like, oh, I heard about like friends. I was out with a friend the other night and she was like, I'm sure you've had this too, Carrie, that she's like, I got an infection from my toy. Like everyone's telling me now. And she's like, I need to get one of those, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is more common than we think. And so congratulations with this invention, but I also,
Thank
congratulations
you.
On getting accepted on Kickstarter, because I know you were like the second only adult related product to make it onto the Kickstarter platform, which is amazing.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah, that we were accepted. We have 2 weeks left of our campaign. It was a little tough during the holidays, but I'm telling you, we are hitting it strong for these last 2 weeks. And these folks that order on Kickstarter will be the first to receive the product.
Okay.
And there's some pretty wonderful things that you've brought to the table on that. And I'm excited to have someone with your credibility and endorse and act as a spokesperson for our product. We couldn't have asked for someone with more authority and more experience than you.
Oh,
and
thanks,
Emily,
Carrie.
You've been great.
So. Oh, thanks, Carrie. I'm honored that you invited me to do it. Like, I'm just something that I'm like just yeah. so excited about. So thank you for that. And also, if everyone, they got 2 weeks left. If you go to my website and you click on the UV banner, it'll take you to the Kickstarter page. We did a really fun video there that shows you and tells you about
yes,
it.
Yes, you did.
But also yep. the perks. I love that we've like people can like you can buy a perk to be you can like contribute to it and then you could have a perk to be on the actual show. You can buy a pledge to be on the yes. podcast. You can get signed copies of my book.
You get lunch. You can lunch. Have lunch with you.
Have lunch with Emily.
Lunch.
That would be fun. I want to meet you guys. I love meeting my listeners. You could do a 15-minute video call with me, and I will answer any question you have. And you're supporting a good cause. If you like toys, you like the pleasure industry, and innovators like Carrie and a product that will change your life, I think you should do it. Check it out.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you,
thank
and happy
you.
New Year, and thank you again. I can't wait to get mine. Like, I'm so excited. Like, the real
soon,
deal for everyone.
Soon.
Yeah.
We're weeks away.
Okay, everyone.
Thank
so
you.
Call up and be
all
a
right.
part of this, and thank you, Carrie, and happy New Year, and I will see you soon. Congratulations on
thank
all your success.
Happy New Year to
thanks.
You.
Bye, Carrie.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I am so excited for everybody to get this. So I think if you guys are cool with it, just check out the, you know, if you're not sure, you're like, what is she talking about? Go to, again, my page and just click on the UV banner and just, if you have anything, just watch the fun video. It's really fun. It's a cool video. And it explains to you, if you even have one toy or you have like 500 toys like me, you're going to see why you need this. So it's awesome. Thank you, Carrie. All right. Now is the time you've all been waiting for. emails. I love answering your questions. I love hearing from you. If you want to send me questions, it's really easy. Sexwithemily.com. Click on the Ask Emily banner, Ask Emily tab. And when you do that, you can just submit your question right there. And you can also pay attention to the little box that says, would you like to be called? Because we're going to do more call shows this year. I've had so much fun. You were here, Anderson. Yeah, we killed it. So what we do is you say you want to be called, and then assistant producer Eddie will call you and set up a time, and then I call you, and then we can really get into your problems and solve them. Because sometimes through emails, you know, I just don't have all the facts. You can also leave me a voicemail, 818-ASK-SWE1. And I love when you include your information, your name, your gender, where you live, and how you listen to this show.
And how old you are.
And how old you are. I said that right.
Can't be given tips to 14-year-olds now.
No.
Hey, you ever get like just random questions? You probably don't even see them, right? Like, hey, who do you like the track this week? You ever get like just weird questions, or are they always sex-related? You know what I mean?
Like, I think we get all kinds of weird questions, yeah.
Who's your favorite football team, Em?
I do get things like that. Yeah, we get everything. Yeah.
We should do a wild card one every now and again.
Just pick up the last one that came in? We should.
Yeah.
Should I do that? Not right now.
Not right now.
Okay. But let's...
I like the idea of doing that. Either just pulling one from a hat, or just going with like an odd question that has nothing to do with sex. Something about you. From a listener.
Eddie, do we get any random things like that?
Questions about you?
Yeah, like, it's the people want to know stuff.
Like, they want to have sex
with you. How many of the emails want to have sex with me?
Like, I would say at least 20 to 30%.
20 to 30%.
20 to 30% are like, I want to have sex with you.
How many of them are ladies? No, really? You don't have the lesbian market cornered, huh?
But are they, like, nice guys? Sometimes Madison will forward them.
Are you thinking
like,
about doing
nice.
This, Em? What is going on?
They're always nice.
So 20 to 30% of the emails come in. They want to bang me. Are they nice guys, Eddie? are they local? Do they have pictures, Ed? Do they specify a circumcised? Hey, new question. You got to answer.
Do you think I like any of them?
When you're sending your emails, let us know where you live, your date, your age, your sex, and if you're circumcised or not,
right.
For him.
No, I don't care if you're circumcised.
Yeah,
way.
But you like to know what you're getting into, right? You don't like
That's
to get caught
important.
With a surprise look.
I want to know if you like love your mom.
You
and
know
like
you get caught with a surprise look on your face. If you see the uncircumcised, you're not prepared for it. It's startling. It's
That's
jarring.
That's funny. That's actually one of our questions today.
Good.
Did you know that?
I think you might have talked about it at the top.
It's not that jarring. Here's the thing. It's really
I've
not.
Seen them. Like in like restrooms.
Yeah, but you didn't have one in your mouth.
And it's terrifying. Like I'm like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, because you're a dude, and you like see penises
you know
all the
weird?
Time.
Five of my friends, my brides, bridesmaids, my groomsmen, five of my groomsmen, three of them were uncircumcised. We know because
How
the night before
know?
We
did
all whipped them out, and I beat off onto a bagel. Whoever
what?
Finished last had to eat it.
You.
It's a thing that we did.
Please tell me you're lying.
I'm lying. I have heard that people do that.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't do that.
Thank God I didn't do that. Of course I didn't do that. But no, three of my five friends, you know, you're really close with people. You're going to hear about it and maybe hear things and see things. But yeah, three of the five are not circumcised.
Okay, yeah. What does that mean? Are they from foreign countries?
I don't know what it means. Okay. I'm not sure. I've never. Yeah, actually,
can we
you know
get them
what?
On the phone? What?
Yeah, two of them were born from out of
country. But typically, it's Americans typically do get circumcised, but. A lot of, like,
I circumcised my son, or actually I was in there holding him when they did it the day after he was born. And yeah, we got a lot of blowback. A lot of people in our lives told us not
blowback?
To do it. A lot of people told us not to do it.
But you did it.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah we did yeah, it. Yeah. I mean, I worked on Loveline for 20 years. I know why you do it.
Yeah,
a lot of bad things can happen.
Yeah, but a lot of good things can happen too.
We'll talk about more
Here
of that
go.
Later. Right?
But let's talk about this email.
Okay.
Hi, Emily. My girlfriend and I recently started listening to your show and love it. I've recently started deep diving into old episodes and came across, no pun intended, don't ask, don't tell, the sex number rule, where you gave the sound advice that it's best not to know how many people you slept with. Your partner or
something. More mystery, less history.
Right. Here's the thing. I love hearing about my partner's number. In fact, I love hearing about every filthy detail from their past. How many partners they've had, what the guys or gals they've been with were like, what their kinks were, how well endowed they were, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've explored these topics of conversation somewhat with my partner, and she's always honest and more than willing to share. But how do I explore this kink without being nosy or disrespectful? Thanks, Scott, age 31.
How do you develop that, Em? What is that?
You know what? It's just like how you develop anything, any fantasy, what turns you on. I mean, I think it means that like...
Like cuckolding.
It's like cuckolding in a way.
Yeah.
It is cuckolding, which means like you want to watch your partner, typically came like your wife, have sex with another man. But I got to tell you, I hear this from guys not a lot, but it's not completely uncommon that they're like, kind of turns me on. Most guys would be jealous. They can never get that thought of that guy with the 15-inch penis, like, and that he doesn't match up. So it doesn't work for most guys. But for whatever reason, like, I hear it from guys who are, like, in happy relationships. I know a guy who's been married for 10 years. He's like, you know, because, you know, everyone tells me everything. And he's just like, you know what bums me out? He's like, I love, you know, he loves his wife. He's like, but I always want her to tell me about, like, guys she's been with before, and she doesn't feel comfortable. He's like, but it turns me on so much. And
she should just make some shit up then, lady. What's
but
what's
she like doesn't want to do it. And then I was out with an ex-boyfriend actually for dinner last night from years ago. He's in town, and he said that he is dating a girl who gets really jealous because they're like open relationship, and she gets really jealous of him. But he's like, I love hearing all the people that she's with. He's like, yeah. I don't know why. Is that weird? I'm like, no. So what I'm saying is, how does someone develop it? Who knows how it's like how we develop any other our sexual kinks. Like,
because I can tell you, it's the last thing I would want to hear.
I say the majority of men are like, I can never get that image out of my head, and that's all they're going to think about, and then they're going to use it against you. So I would not. So for women, tread lightly here, or guys, or whoever you're dating. If your partner says they want this information, test it, because there could also be the reverse where the person's going to use it against you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But typically, Scott, I get what you're saying. I know this isn't as common. But
it's out there. There's a movie. It's one of my favorite movies ever by David Lynch. It's called Wild at Heart with Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern.
That.
And there's a scene where he's describing to her a past sexual experience that he had in great detail about taking a bite of peach and all this stuff, and that she wanted to go down on him. And Laura Dern is his girlfriend in the movie, and she's like Lola. She's like listening to Rec real intently, and she's completely getting off on it. And that was my first exposure to that. And
yeah.
I was like, that is so odd.
Right.
Well, I don't know. But I know that it's out there.
It is out there. So I would, you know,
I wish I had it.
But here's the thing: I wish I had it too. I would love to be able to tell guys like my stories if they would be into it. Like if he wanted to listen. I mean, because. They're pretty good
stories.
You're
just doing the girl thing, though. We're like, as long as they're listening to me and anything I have to
no,
say,
I think I've got some good stories. I actually did have an ex who wanted me to tell him about all my like threesomes. Not that I've had that many, but when I had, he was like, tell me this, tell me that. What happened?
How long did it take you to tell?
What do you mean?
Like, were you done by
like
the end of dinner? Or like,
no,
were you
it's
still
like a 5-minute
telling the story?
But then it was like a 5-minute story, but he wanted more detail. So then I would like make up stuff.
You started throwing things in?
Yeah, I was like,
you got a good
yeah.
story. You got a new kind of, a kind of relevant new story.
I do what?
Yeah, Mexico. Ooh, yeah, masseuse
people
man.
Love that story.
Masseuse boy, yeah.
I had a little Mexican lover.
Every time I pass a massage parlor, which is often because I live out in the valley and they're everywhere. They're on every corner next to a donut store. Every single
you think
corner.
About me?
I think about you.
He's hot. I loved him.
But you're never going to see him again.
I know. Well, hey, I know where he is. I know where he works. I know where his hut is on the beach. So so here's the thing. I think it'd be kind of cool if a guy wasn't going to get jealous and go crazy.
His hut.
And let me tell you something. If I'm trying to think about, I've had a guy who shared his stuff with me. I don't really get jealous. And this is what we don't want to hear. I don't want to hear like how hot she was and that she gave me the best blowjob of my life, but kind of like this cool thing happened or she went
then,
down on me or anything.
Yeah, describe
I don't get
the actual
I'm a jealous person though. Yeah,
probably.
You don't want to hear like, you don't want to
the other person feel threatened.
You don't want to speak in superlatives like it was the best ever and this and that, but
absolutely.
Details. I get it. So it's actually healthy to talk about your past. Like, Scott, here's the thing. Hey, okay, so Scott, going back to your question is, your partner's down with it. She's more than willing to share, and you want to know how do you do it without being nosy or disrespectful. So I think you should just like reinforce that it really turns you on when she tells you these stories, and that tell her that you're concerned. Say the second this gets weird to you, or the second you feel like I'm pushing you too far, or I'm being disrespectful, let me know. But honestly, I just love hearing about you. Turned on. It
do you
turns
think
me
that
on.
He should bring it up like during the act of actual sex while they're already heated up, or
well,
do you think he brings it up over dinner?
My friend's husband, whose wife won't do it, he says he wants to hear it during sex. It
but how
on.
Does he broach the subject?
Oh, I
while
see.
While they're both hot and getting, because she might be more apt to like an open and kind
of
go with the flow.
I think the next day when you guys are together at lunch or dinner, you'd be like, God,
okay.
Last night I cannot stop thinking about that sex last night when you started telling me about that guy who went down on you in the kitchen pantry.
No, you're talking about after the fact, though.
Oh.
Like, how do you bring it up? So you bring it up during the act of sex is what when he should bring up the fact that he would like to hear these things.
Well, I think he's already done. They're already doing it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's down with it.
She
it's
just
already
doesn't
happening.
Like it.
No. He said that. I love hearing about it, how many partners she's had, and she's always honest and willing to share. So she's down with it.
Okay.
So far, so good.
But he just doesn't want to seem like he's pushing the
boundaries
too much.
But he's afraid he's going to push it. So I would say babe, that was hot when you told me that story about
positive reinforcement,
about the threesome you had in college. I want you to know that, like, I just think it's really hot to think of you having pleasure. But if the second you feel like I'm pushing you too much or it's disrespectful, let
Perfect.
Me know.
Yeah.
Done. But
and if she has a problem with that, dump that bitch.
Right. And explain to her that it truly is, like, it just turns you on. And, you know, I don't know if you like it during or if it's foreplay or whatever. But I think just be honest. Honesty is the best policy. She's down with it. That's cool. Not every woman's going to be down with it.
You ever done
she
a show?
Think you're going to be judged. You're going to judge her, which, you know, that's the other thing that if I was a friend telling me this and she was with a new guy and he was like, he wants to hear all my past, I'd be like, he might use it. He might be like, oh, you slut, or use it against
yeah,
you.
Yeah, there are some devious
guys,
dudes
I've had
out
guys
there
like
that.
That are, so,
the, you know who those guys are? Those are the guys that have like ex-girlfriends named Mike in their phone. Those are real devious fuckers, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Yeah.
Okay, what were you just going
to
say?
You ever do a show with Lycus or ever have to share space or a microphone
Tom Lycus
with
was
him?
On my show early on, yeah.
He was on your show early on. I didn't
we were
know
both
that.
On Free FM, mm-hmm. and it was like my second month.
Wow.
And I terrified. He was the big name on the station,
yeah.
and it was my show from was 11 to 2.
Right.
At night, and the program director comes in.
I knew
goes,
all that. I remember all this story.
Goes,
I don't remember
Tom
him coming
Lycus,
on.
He goes, Tom Lycus is here. He's going to come in a minute after the commercial break. I was like, ugh. Like, I was so nervous.
And he came with sunglasses.
Yeah, I have the tape, actually,
and
of it.
Probably red wine in the
red same. Wine. And he was like, hey. And he was like,
were the sunglasses on?
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
And he was like, most women. I remember it. I still have it on. And he was like, you know, they want this or that. I'm like, I'm not like, because you know me, I'm really not that woman right. that he would talk right. about. Tom Lycus is a radio personality.
About, I think most of your listeners probably are at least familiar with it.
I don't know. He wasn't everywhere. I'd never heard him until.
Eddie, you know who Tom Lycus is? I see Michael nodding. Good.
But he was kind of a misogynist, and he kind of had the same rap over and over again about how men should like never right. have a woman move in, don't pay for drinks.
Dump that bitch.
Right. So he was just talking about how women don't.
Flash Friday.
And I was like,
everybody.
I'm not like that. He's like, well, you're not the typical female. It wasn't as scary as I thought. But yeah. what were you going to say about Tom Lycus? So
I, just,
he's
I
like
quoted
that.
Him, and I wanted to, you know, see if.
Got it.
I said, dump that bitch. And you actually just rolled with her. Yes, yes, absolutely. Dump that bitch. Yes.
I didn't know you were quoting him.
When I said if she couldn't handle that the nice way that you
dump
suggested
that
he put it, you got to kick that bitch to the curb.
Dump that bitch. That's mean. Don't say that. See? Right. Now I'm correcting you. Okay, one more?
ML, yes.
Because you want to talk about uncircumcised penises.
Oh, let's do it.
Hey,
the
Emily,
elephant dicks.
I look, dude.
That's what they look like.
No, they
look
don't.
Like elephant trunks.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, I don't see that way. I just see a beautiful penis.
Like, and I realize that there's three men in this room. And there's one woman. And, you know, there's a very good chance that there's an uncircumcised dick in this room. And
right behind you.
And I'm being rude.
Eddie has one.
I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying, Eddie, in this country, they look really different and they're scary.
He doesn't care. We've talked all about his penis.
I mean, penises are scary to me to begin with, but when they got the extra...
You're a heterosexual male.
Yes, but when they got the extra little bits there, it's like, oh, Jesus.
Okay, well, let me tell you from a woman's perspective.
Okay.
I've been with several, mm-hmm. and...
Yeah, but let's be fair. Your name is Sex with Emily.
No, this is pre-Sex with Emily.
Okay.
First time I was in Europe, I was backpacking, and I met a guy from London, and he was uncircumcised. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, it didn't even,
I wonder
it didn't
if
faze
my
me.
Father-in-law is uncircumcised.
Yeah, he probably is. Okay,
he's
listen.
British. Oh, no. I'm never going to the gym with that guy.
Well,
okay.
Why? Just because it's different. I get it. I just, to me, it's like, you're going to find, well, let's answer Marie's question. I love your show. I started dating this guy and he sent me a Snapchat pic of his penis. I was the one that asked for it. It's sort of a turn on for me. Anyway, I noticed that he has an uncircumcised penis. I've never been with a man who was uncircumcised. Any suggestions on how to handle one? I need help. Thanks, Marie, age 26. The first good point here is never send dick pics unless someone requests it, because I got a dick pic on Snapchat last night, and you know what I do? I block that person.
Eddie, real quick, I know you're way off mic, but how many dick pics do you get in the email ask questions?
Once a day.
A
don't
dick
encourage.
Pic a day.
Really?
A dick pic a day for
dick
M.
Dick pic a day keeps
what's
the...
a guy thinking about that? Because you're like a professional. You give out like really solid advice. You got the education. You're behind a microphone. People respect you. Hey, I'm going to send her a dick.
It happened to me on Snapchat. I was just falling to bed, falling asleep. I just block them. So don't, if you send me a dick pic, I will block you.
But then you dreamed about the dick.
No, it was just, ew. No one wants to see a dick in the wild. You don't want to see a dick
especially
that you don't know who the person is. I don't care if it's uncircumcised. You don't want to see a person's dick you don't know. You want to ask for it. You want to know it's coming. It's like, ugh. Like
yeah,
you
coming.
Just,
you want to know. It's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so only send dick pics requested is the
right.
first point here.
Good
so
point.
Most, here's the thing about what you need to know about the uncircumcised penis is that they have more nerve endings, which is why they're more sensitive. Uncircumcised guys might deal with condoms differently, like some like the foreskin pulled down, some don't. So let him do it the first time you're together and ask him to show you what he likes. Like you could do a little mutual masturbation, like watch what he likes, but it's not, don't fixate on it. Like it's really not like Anderson's fixating on it more than, I'm telling you, it's like, it's really not that different. You get erect, you can't see, always the foreskin goes away a lot. Like you just...
come prepared with Q-tips and rubbing alcohol.
Listen, the most important thing is that he stays clean, that he's clean before and clean after. A lot of guys who are uncircumcised know this. Don't body shame him. Don't fixate on it. And it's really no big deal. Like I literally had to stop and think when I read this before the show. I was like, okay, I dated a guy for 2 years before I moved here that was uncircumcised.
Right.
And I was like, I don't even remember. Like, it was never even an issue. It was like...
well, you told me you employed the don't look down method when you were having sex. You never looked down because it was going to be too disturbing for you.
No, I never said that.
No?
So tips. Okay, they're more sensitive. Make sure he cleans. Hand jobs can be easier. The foreskin moves better. It's kind of having like a fleshlight built into your penis, like a sleeve that goes up and down.
Yeah, like one of those kids' toys, right?
Ask him how
those things.
No.
They're like a little inside-out water balloons. They're really fun. And
yes,
they slip and
I know what you're talking about.
That's always reminded me of an uncircumcised wiener.
Right. Yeah. Like when you touched it, it felt like that? Or?
Yeah.
Right. How sensitive, you know, again, ask him how he likes to be touched. Definitely wear condoms as you always should and just treat it with love. Like it's a part of his body. You're going to find that once you see it, like it's really, I can understand you have anxiety around it, but it's like really no... it's really not that different,
not
except
that.
It's more sensitive.
Way more natural than my wiener. And
you can tell him, you know what you can say? But God, that's so hot. You can say, I've never been with one, but like I want to know exactly what to do. I think that's so hot.
So she has not had sex with this man. She's not touched his ween, but she's seen his peen, and she knows it's uncircumcised. It's weird. It's a weird world we live in.
It is a real...
girls are seeing their partner's dicks before they even touch them. That's odd.
I know, it is odd. You're right. Well, at least she has time to prepare an email sex only now, and I can help her.
You know what I would do if I had an uncircumcised penis back in my heyday? Any excuse I could muster or find to like have an excuse to show a girl I was interested in, like to get the wiener out of the pants and show her. Like
in the bar, you just whip it out?
Or like, you know, younger days, like a house party or something. Like, oh yeah, I swear, I got the Prince Albert. You want to see? Got the ladder. You want to see? I'll show you.
Would you show it to the crowd?
I never did this. I never had the excuse.
Right.
And I never wanted to do it so badly that I would go get my dick pierced. But if I was not circumcised with my damn parents, then take my membrane away from me. Foreskin. I would have had a built-in excuse.
You'd join the circus, maybe.
Yeah.
And like, just like, it's a freak thing, but like that you could just have an excuse to show your penis everywhere. Not that you did the circus.
Oh yeah, that would take it to a whole new level.
Take it on the road.
Or like I'm that guy that like just stretched like jelk for a living.
That
and
was
I
the
just
wrong
got
thing
my dick hanging.
Yeah, something. Just you'd like to be somewhere where you could be like an
exhibitionist, right?
But that's not in the
circus. What's the percentage of people that aren't circumcised in this country? Do we know?
I would say in this country, I don't know the percentage, but I know that most are, but I know that in most of the world
I'd
not.
I'd say like 1 in 20 in this country, probably. Something
I would
like that,
say
right?
That in most of the world, they are not circumcised, but in America, they are. That's what I have to say. But I
joke. I know there's a lot of people who you know, aren't circumcised. And
I think it's hot. I'm like, oh my God. I actually
hot.
Find it sexy.
I think we might be going a little too overcorrection there.
You don't suck them. Okay, that's a really
valid
great way
point.
To end the show.
Have you ever been sucking an uncircumcised penis and you thought he came, but then you realized it was just a smegma?
It's never happened.
Good.
No.
Because that would be awful.
Good question, though, Anderson. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love you. It's good to see you. Everyone, check out your podcasts.
Yeah. Cinematics, The Film Vault, and The After Disaster. We're still trucking. Cinematics is back for a new year. We just did some new movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Check out Anderson. Check him out.
Oh, and Groupers is coming along. Pre-production is really coming along. It's getting exciting. I haven't even had a chance to talk to you about it, Em. But my feature film that I'm making in about 2 months, I'm shooting it in March, April. And it looks like we have a location locked down. I'm going after some actors that I absolutely love their work. They're not big names or anything, but I'm trying to get some of these guys. And a girl, it's so much fun making, you know, doing pre-production for my first feature film.
I love it.
So
well, thank you. And thank you to our listeners who supported it.
Yes,
and supported
thank
the Kickstarter.
You, Emily, for helping me and all that stuff.
You know, I love you. I'm
You're
so proud
so
of
supportive.
You. Of course, I love you. And I love everyone. And thank you, everyone, for just supporting the show and for following us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram stories, Snapchat, whatever, everything in the world. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I don't know. I just love you all. Happy New Year. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait. Hold on. Thank you, Michael, for doing the sound. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Anderson, of course. Thank you, Madison, Lori, Jamie, Ken, my
amazing
team.
Don't forget Ken.
Ken, we love you, Ken. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.